Before we start on our message, I just would like, if Pastor Obed, would you just come down for a second here? Pastor Obed is a Greater Grace pastor in Toronto, Canada. And just here, good, yeah. That's okay, yeah, yeah. And we had a good talk yesterday. And he's working in Toronto to reach Muslims in Toronto City and has a real vision for it. And I just appreciate so much his testimony and his life and his ministry and what he's doing to do it. And he said to me, if we have any Greater Grace churches in the United States that want to have an Islamic outreach, then he's available. And he can come as a guest speaker. We can advertise in the city, let's say here in Baltimore, and we advertise, or Dearborn, Michigan, that would be a great place. Yeah, or Houston, Texas, and just work at it and reach and look at how do we reach these dear, precious people, and with what message. And he is all about it. He really wants our prayers, our love, our support, and our encouragement, and he's just available. So keep him in mind and keep him in our prayers. Amen? Okay? Thanks, Pastor. Thank you. There's so many things to talk about tonight and to preach about. I'm going to try to reduce it to something very simple. I got diagrams in my mind and, things. And I've got this one up on the screen. Love is and love is not. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What love is, joy is connected with love. Love. God is love. God is love. Christ came into the world and said that we love each other. He came so we would love. It seems that that's the only thing that the devil cannot do. I mean, he can do, I'm sure there's a lot of the other he cannot do, cannot create. But he can pray, he can serve, he can give. The devil can do a lot. The devil, what does it say? 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, okay? Though I give my body to be burned and give my goods to feed the poor, though I move mountains with faith and understand all mysteries, but have not love. We can say it simply, God is love, the devil is not. When you and I love like this, then people see God. That's exciting. And then the second sentence, love is connected with what is meaningful. This is important. What is meaningful. Look at the list here. Love is, and that the all that on the left is what it is. What it is not is very common to us on the right. Envy, puffing, vaunting myself is public, like putting myself, just promoting myself publicly. Puffing up is internal. That's on the right side. Puffing up is in thinking too highly of myself internally. Vaunting myself is promoting myself publicly. And of course, we love Jesus Christ because we don't see that with him. We see humility. first time. You know, in the ancient world, humility was not a virtue. It's kind of like our culture. Humility is not a virtue anymore, or we don't talk about it. Do you want to catch somebody off guard in the coffee shop? Just say the word humility, and they'll look at you two times. What is that? What is that? Humility. It's a good word. What do we talk about? But strength. What is the you know, the speakers, the motivational speakers that we have in the business world and the world of strength and smartness and power and influence? These are the things that people talk about and love. But to be a nobody is not a virtue in our culture. To lose, you are a loser. To be low, like Christ. And when Christ is low, like this rug here, like I could wipe my feet on the rug like this, when Jesus is so low, but in him is God, then we get a picture of, well, a seeming paradox, that God is so great, and at the same time, he can be treated like nothing. A throwaway. Yeah. But as we throw him away, he is loving us. As we throw him away, he is so wise. As we throw him away, he is so strong. This is what we follow. What we search for, it's meaningful. This phrase, love is connected with what is meaningful. I did a little message outline here on the happiness of the wicked. In Psalm 17:14, the happiness of the wicked is limited. You know, the piles of money, the fame, fortune, popularity, successes. Job 20, verse 5, it's short. And then I like this one. Luke 12, 20, it is uncertain. Their happiness is uncertain because it's connected with something less meaningful. And if you look at the list here, this is like the less meaningful life. You know, you talk about people, you think evil, you project the way your ideas or opinions are on other people. You rejoice in the iniquity, in the murder, adultery. You read the books and watch the TV programs on murder and selfishness and cheating people and all of this. And then you go to bed. What do you have? It's not meaningful. Is jealousy meaningful? It's foolish. So my joy is connected with love, and love is connected with what is meaningful or important. What is love? There's a chapter in the Gospel of John that I'd like you to turn to that could help us think about it. But before we do, I want to make sure we kind of get this in our minds and not go too fast. Because we said the other night that when I was a child, I thought, spake as a child, thought like a child. And there was a kind of darkness there. I see through a glass darkly. I can't exactly understand this thing called life. You know, it's a mystery. I can't really, what is meaningful? Tell me, Pastor, what is meaningful? And we say, Jesus knows what is meaningful. He lived the most meaningful life. Let's hear what he says. And he tells us that we have a plagued heart that is filled with the things that are on the right side of this list here. Our hearts are filled with seeking our own. We kind of remain children in the big house called the universe. We kind of gather our stuff to ourselves, and you know what is meaningful to me? My money, my time, my children, my house, my life, my career, my life. That's what's meaningful to me. And Jesus is saying, then will you have joy? Because if your target is wrong, then you will suffer. And one of the ways you will suffer is that you may achieve, but the target is the wrong target. You got your stuff, but is it love? Yeah, good, isn't it? Thoughtful. So there we go. That's something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. When I was a child, I spoke like one, and I was on the right side here. Easily provoked. That one, you see that number 1, 2, 3? It's a lot of material here, but you can follow it with me. You see it? Easily provoked. Oh, you offended me. I can't believe you treat me that way. What did you say? I can't believe it, you know. Easily provoked. I'm so sorry for people that their world is too meaningless. So how could they have joy? If their world is meaningless, meaning they don't have love, they can't forgive. They can't say, I don't care, it doesn't matter, don't worry about me. Oh, you want my coat? Okay, here's the coat, here's my cloak, or here's my shirt, and it's okay, don't worry about it. I have found something very meaningful in my life. And I have to be honest, I lose it at times, and then I find it again. I lose Christ and the whole thing, not literally in terms of our salvation, but I lose in my experience. I see through a glass darkly. But there is a day, you know the song, there is a day coming. There is a day, and we will see more clearly. And the thing that will happen is that we will find meaning, that meaning that Jesus has ordained for us, that we kind of are reaching on the top of the refrigerator, kind of trying to find it and get our hands on it. And the best way that you can get your hands on it is by getting real quiet in your life and being able to sit in a church like this one and receive the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart and strangely warm your heart. Get your mind on something more than yourself. Get your mind. You know, in our country, we have Walmarts and Targets, and we got the Beltway and restaurants and everything else that is going on. We got golf clubs and health clubs, and we got all kinds of programs everywhere, and we get running and going and going, and then we should stop and say, what is meaningful? What is meaningful? I've lost what is meaningful in my life. I lost what is valuable to me. Well, don't you know that you know, a new TV set that's about 42 yards wide is like the most meaningful thing you can have and do? Or that your NFL football team is going to win the championship, what's that called? Super Bowl. I mean, that is meaningful, guys. Really? Well, where in the Bible does God, listen to this, where in the Bible does God like pull the veil back and allow us to hear a prayer that is said by Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ says to the Father, Father, I did it. I made their life meaningful. Father, you hear me. I brought to them the goods. I got it. I got it done. Father, I brought it home. I put it in them. I gave it to them, and they got it. And the world didn't get it, but they got it. Where is that in the Bible? Right, John 17. Turn with me there, please, to that chapter. This is the chapter where we get to hear something that shakes our world deeply. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him power over all flesh that he should give, where here it is, that he would give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What? I have eternal life. There's one word right there. That's one. Verse 3. And this life eternal, that they might know thee. That's number two. That we would know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. Verse 4. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. I did the heavy lifting. I saved them. I justified them. I sanctified them. I glorified them. I have elected them. They have received. They have believed. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with their own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming home. I did it. I brought to these, we'll just say it this way, foolish world. This empty, foolish world. As we run around like chickens with our heads cut off, talking and talking day and night, talking for thousands of years about meaningless things. What does it matter if the things that I'm talking about fade away? What does it matter if the things that I'm doing are being done out of an evil heart? What does it matter if I, in my own sinful self, am living a life of vanity? Where is my joy? There is not. There is happiness with the wicked, but it passes away like dust. They have their party. And sadly, it seems like it could be a message from God. That night, that teenager is dead. Sorry to say it. In a tragic car accident, and families are weeping and brokenhearted. The kids came home drunk that night, and there's a funeral the next week for some 19-year-old teenager. Meaningless, meaningless futility, our flesh. Jesus said he came like right into our world, and he said, I have changed it. I finished the work, Father. Now I'm coming back to you. But you are sending the Holy Spirit on these. And these people are going to learn love. They're going to stumble and fall, but they will be hungry because any living thing is hungry. And when you are born again, you get hungry. And that's why churches grow, by the way, because people get saved and they get hungry, and it's a mystery. We cannot put our finger on it because it is not our work. It is the work of God's grace. God saves people, changes them, teaches them. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me. I was thinking, you know the story. You got saved in Boston, up in Maine years ago. You got saved in Africa or India. You know the story. There's no way there's no way. And nobody had the influence on you like God has the influence on you. God comes into your spirit. And of course, there's sometimes it just grows slowly like the acorn growing into a oak tree. Sometimes it just grows slow and you can't even see it. There are times when you'll say, I see, I understand. My life has meaning. My circumstances aren't the basis of the meaning. Jesus Christ is the basis of the meaning. Not what is happening to me is the basis, but God is. And he's saying it here in the prayer. Father, I manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them me, and they have kept thy word. Remember when you keep the word of God, and you don't really know what you're doing, but you just keep the word of God? I remember being in a car up in Maine years ago as a young man, having gone to one of our meetings up there, looking out the window, wondering, what am I doing? Where am I going? And I would resolve in my heart, I do not know what I am doing, and I do not know where I am going. But in my heart, I want to keep his word. That seems to make sense to me, to keep the word. I don't know where it brings me, but it's the best navigation tool for the human heart. You know, fish know how to swim from Oregon to Japan. And the salmon go there and come back from Japan and right there to Oregon. And they do it a second year, a third year. And if they survive, a fourth year. And then they go up the stream they were born from. And they swim upstream and they say, woohoo, I've been to Japan 4 times. And they reproduce up there. Their navigation is incredible. Butterflies, insects, birds, fish, and everything on the earth except man. The ox knows his master. The ass his master's crib. But my people do not know me. Their head is sick. There are wounds and bruises in their soul. They have they talk day and night about this thing, and there is no love there. But Jesus came to change it. You got it. It's yours. You know it. You know it's in you. You know it. Jesus is in you. You know that. There's a witness of the Spirit. You love these messages that come from this book because it helps us live a meaningful life. You think of a missionary who's been far away and they've been living in a third world country, and you just say, what are they doing? How can they do it? You don't know the secret. That when Christ is with you and your work in a third world country, you are walking in the footsteps of a meaningful life communicated to you by Jesus Christ every day. But wait a minute. Can't we live that way in the Western world? Can't we be careful with what we are doing and getting involved? Can't we be wise in our decisions? Can't we deny ourselves? I asked the secretary to find out about the Boy Scout oath and the Boy Scout law, because I once was a Boy Scout. And I never hear these words today in everyday language. A scout is trustworthy. Here's a little boy, he's 12 years old, and he makes a pledge. He's got his little uniform on, and he's there, and he is his leader there. And he says the oath, the scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Yes, sir. What has happened in our society? We are cheating our young people by not giving any discipline and direction and guiding them in deeper, meaningful things. If a little boy says, I am a girl, and the leaders of our country are saying, very good, very good. You're very honest. You're very transparent. They are fools. And they are cheating the child. And they're producing sick people. And we are responsible to say something about it. I do not apologize at all about what it is that we say in our pulpits. I could care less about political correctness. You know that, and I'm not... you know what I mean. I mean, that's in your heart too. But it's in every culture that we have a responsibility to communicate what is meaningful to people. What is love? And then you have a family, and it's tough. It's hard to raise a family. It's tough to stay together. It's tough to raise your kids. It's tough in many ways. But if I can get my life simple and meaningful, then I'll communicate to my kids what is meaningful. My God is meaningful to me. To be honest is meaningful. To care about you, to love your mother is meaningful. To forgive, to pray together, to believe, to be in a church, to have a mission that's beyond our self-life. And a mission that is bigger than us, that is based on the power of Christ. Verse 8, I've given unto them the words which you gave me. How much did Jesus give words? Day and night for 3 years. Day and night, he gave them words. What were they doing? Did they go back to their own life? No, he needed them. Because they were in an intensified program. And many of our people are up for an intensified program. Many of us, many cannot do it because of their family and jobs and other responsibilities. But there are some that want an intensified program, where they can day and night be receiving words, words that we discover, we find, which God has given to us through Christ. And they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from you. They have believed that I was sent. Listen, let me just a little tip. As a missionary, I've been with other missionaries on the mission field. They don't give so many words out to people. They meet people and so on, and they invest. And I think our people are awesome, but I just want to just raise the bar a little bit. If you are in a foreign country and you are ministering, be sure to do as much as you can in giving words of life to people and helping them, because some want an intensified program of getting these words. Many, we are a church for families, and we are very happy when families can be part of what it is that we are doing here. And there are many different phases that we go through in life. There is no doubt about it. But here he is saying, I gave them the words, and it changed them. Verse 8, it says, they know where I came from. I pray for them. Verse 9, I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but Jesus, come back. Come back. When are you coming back, Lord? Come back. I had a thought today. This is going to shock some of you. You bear with me. You'll get over it. It'll be a couple days of therapy, but you'll get over it. Yeah, we say Jesus died 2,000 years ago on a cross in Jerusalem. Can you imagine a Christian saying Jesus died 8,000 years ago on the cross in Jerusalem? That would be 6,000 more years of human history as we know it. Is that possible? No one knows the day or the hour. I do not know when he is coming back. I'm sure the first century Christians thought he was coming right away within their time. But it was 2,000 more years. You know, I don't have any problem with thinking about that because I know that he's coming back. And his timing is perfect. Personally, I believe it's very soon. And that, by the way, when we are spirit-filled, we'll be watching and waiting. Just like it is coming now. And every spirit-filled generation has had that urgency and that feeling that it will happen very soon. But I'm trying to say something else about it. And that is, it is okay with me, God's timing. We have received what we need. We have received the meaningful message of love and truth in our hearts. We love each other. In a way, I feel like I could live like this for 1,000 years. Having convention 3,019 is our name. You know, the convention in Baltimore, 3,019. Yeah, you know, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, isn't it? One day is 1,000 years. Here is what we're saying. The world will never get it. They will never get it. I am so sorry about it. They are on the right in the list here, on the right side. They are blinded by, we are blinded by our pride. We are blinded by our cold hearts. We are blinded by our self-life. It is tragic, sad, shocking, unbelievable. Lost people. Unbelievable. Why did God save you? Why did the grace of God call you? Why did God visit you? Why did you get the hunger? Why did you want to go to the meeting? Why didn't you die before you got to the meeting? Why did it happen that you got the message and you were convicted and persuaded and believed and were regenerated and saved? We are elected. We don't have an answer except God's goodwill, God's great grace, God's mercy given to us. God gave us his Son. And God is speaking to us and saying, if I have done all of this for you, if I have given you a meaningful life, then you have a life of love. The result of that is that you will sense in your spirit joy. You'll have some assurance and sense that your whole life is wrapped up in God. And that one day we will see him, maybe very soon. We will go there. Wow. Let's finish. Verse 11. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Every generation of Christians have been in the world. And you know, the gates of hell cannot wipe out the church. They will try. They wipe it out over here, but it'll spring up over here. The devil will come over here, wipe it out over there. Then it'll pop up in two other places over here. It is destroyed in Japan. Then it springs up in Mexico. He is working in Mexico. It springs up in China. He blinds the eyes of people in New York City and the people of the United States. And then it pops up over there in Manchuria, China. South Korea. And now our prayers are for Japan. God working, saving, and working. The gates of hell cannot stop it. It happens, and Jesus said, I go. I am no more in the world. But it says then, these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Left side of the column, oneness. Suffers long, oneness. I got a problem with you. I got a problem with you, but I can suffer long. I got a couple years. It's okay. We'll get better. 6 years later, it's getting better. Don't worry about it. I'm not in a hurry. I can suffer. God is love. Remember the story about the woman that was married 50 years? She had an anniversary, and she said in her anniversary that in our marriage, there was a time when I hated my husband. I hated him so much I couldn't even look at him. And it lasted, this is old school. She said that lasted 6 years. But then I started to love him. I forgave him. I started to love him. What would we do today in our world when you hate your husband? It's over. Go to the court and sign a paper and, hey, I got it done. I finished it. But is that meaningful? Pastor Lance said to me one time, he said, I had never seen somebody get a divorce paper signed and everything go running out. Yeah, yeah. It's more like that happened. I don't know if it was right or not, but it happened. I couldn't stand it anymore. I couldn't make it. Couldn't look at him. Couldn't be with him. I couldn't do it. Couldn't live with him. So this is what I did. I don't know. How long does it suffer? Missionaries 100 years ago would go out and they were gone. They never returned. They would live sometimes years and years wanting to go home, loving home, but they loved what they were doing. We hope so. We don't know, but we know that love can suffer a long time. Our churches, we can be together for a long time because we can. Number two, be kind. Kindness in our words, kindness in our attitude, kindness, be kind. Just be kind. Why argue? Why fight? Why pick a fight? Why provoke people? Why get in? Why is that love? It's not love. Kind, be kind. Number three, rejoices in truth, doctrine. Really, hallelujah, breakdown, truth. Really. Forgiveness bears all things, believes all things. What we're saying hopes all things, endures all things, never fails. God. That's God, isn't it? No wonder somebody has joy because they have found love. No wonder things can work out and we find ourselves endeavoring for peace. Well, Jesus said that they may be one as we are. As Father and I are one, they are one as we are. Gold standard, extremely high, above my capacity and yours. But we can think on these things and believe that God gave them to us. And I think, therefore, we have been together for decades. We can work through our problems. We can pray for each other. We can be very patient and very kind and very encouraging and challenging. If you hear something you don't exactly agree with, you just kind of handle it yourself in love. and work on it and think about it, because I might, whoever the preacher may be right, the Bible may be right, and it might be that you're full of yourself. On the other hand, we can be wrong. And if we are wrong, let's talk about it and figure out what is right. But don't let yourself be anything less than the awesome person that God has ordained you to be. And be very patient with yourself and very forgiving with yourself, and learn what grace is. And let us show grace to each other all the time. A lot of grace, and a lot of joy. Joy does a lot in a church. And I feel that I'm so proud of God in the church, because I feel our week has all been about the joy that we truly have because the Son of God gave it to us. This is God with us that gave us this week. It's the result of humility in listening to the Scripture, humility in obeying what God is saying, humility in trust. Jealousy is always part of our life, you know, in our flesh, and all kinds of things that happen in our flesh. We know about that being a child. But let us put away childish things and learn a higher, a more excellent way, and work with each other, love each other, care for each other, and see great things happen. People will come into our church and say, why is there a spirit of love here? Why is there wisdom here? Why are people like, I like them? I don't know. They feel, it seems real. I don't know what it is, but there's something going on in that church. I don't know. I would like it. I need it myself for sure. And it is ours. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, the devil is a big liar, because he says you can live your life without God. And we're saying tonight there's no way you would find a meaningful life. You would not find joy, you would not find love without God. But because of God, we have found a new life. Please come to Jesus today. Please come to Jesus. And Lord, would in New Orleans and Houston and in Miami and Las Vegas and Chicago and Nashville and Greenfield and Pittsburgh and Carlisle and up in Rome and Utica and Malta and Montreal and Toronto and all these great cities and places, would you bring souls into the churches? Would you deliver messages? Would salvation happen? Would you just spread the word and save, Lord, we pray. If you're coming to Jesus tonight, please say in your heart, I believe in you, Jesus. Please say to him, I believe in you. And if you do believe in him, then you are born of the Spirit, a child of God. God will never fail you, and everything we've said tonight from John 17 is for you. In Jesus' name, amen.